Looking to go out in the town in the city of Boston for an affordable price and grab some great food, drinks, and atmosphere in the Seaport District? Well, look no further than newcomer Seaport Social. Seaport Social is a premier and authentic social house that is poised to proudly serve the Boston area for many years to come. Their mission is to provide high-quality food and unique craft beer selection, along with a welcoming atmosphere for all those that wish to witness firsthand what the Boston social spirit is all about. From a top-notch bar, great group seating, to their premier menu, including their massive loaded nachos, endless craft beers on tap, and an exquisite espresso martini option, look for manager Jimmy, who will satisfy your needs. A project that has been 4 years in the making is finally here, Seaport Social, which is located at 225 Northern Avenue in the Seaport District in Boston, will officially open its doors for their grand opening December 1st. Get there while you can and tell them Steel and Az sent you. Eat, drink, social. That's what the Seaport Social does.
Episode 120, welcome to Steel and Naz, presented by Hedge Better. Big shout out to Slide Edge Fitness Performance at 101 French Avenue in Braintree. And the law office of Patrick J. Foley. Another night here, showtime and Naz. I don't know, everyone's working Tuesday night here. We had Ozzy Martin, Toro on, upcoming MMA fighter, fresh off a knockout in Cage Titans. Great talk. He's also alumni of Plymouth State, which I went to, so we had a little talk about that. We don't really like clowns, no turkeys. What else we have?
Just talking about his inspiration, where he gets his fighting spirit from his family. Kind of just like where his eyes are set for the future. He's got a young, bright future ahead of him. He's got a long career that he's obviously passionate about, so you'll definitely be seeing more of him.
Oh, yeah, and afterwards, we kind of just kept it simple for you. Bruins playoffs start next Monday. The Celtics game one starts between either, you'll know by the time this comes out, but Atlanta and Miami are playing right now to see who gets the spot. And then, obviously, what's happened with the Red Sox over the weekend. So we'll give you a little bit
Sox
of
looking
all
good
three
to
teams.
Start.
Not bad, but we'll see. A little bit of talk here. But let's move on to Ozzy Toro Martin, upcomer in the MMA world. All right, we're now with MMA fighter, recently off his big-time W in Cage Titans 58 with a first-round KO out of Daniel Keepers. We got Ozzy Martin joining us, trains out of New Hampshire, Plymouth State guy right now, still at Plymouth State, currently a junior. I'm a Plymouth State alum. We had a little connection before we got on the airwaves here. But, Ozzy, how's everything going, man? And, yeah, like I said about the first round knockout, how's it feel kind of building off that in the gym?
I mean, it feels good, honestly, to bring that W back, not just like for myself, but for my team and for everyone that helped me get there. And, you know, it was good. It was fun, you know, and I didn't expect it, honestly, because I was previously getting ready to fight on Dana White's looking for a fight in Encore on March 15th. I got an opponent at the beginning and then I started training for that fight. Then my opponent dropped out. So I had took a couple of days off, and then a good friend of mine, Tyler King, reached out to me about the opportunity to fight Daniel Keepers. It was in 10 days at Cage Titans 58, and I was like, you know what, whatever, man. I'm looking for a fight. I'm already ready. Why not? Let's do it. And, you know, good thing I took it because it went well.
And I think I saw in an interview before, did you say going into this fight was one of the first fights you felt like 100%, like kind of no doubts in your mind, like just full body mind connection?
Yeah, just because honestly, like my first fight, I was pretty sick leading up to it. And of course, my first fight, so I was like pretty nervous, but also like the sickness, like really like kind of affected like my strength overall. Because like I was in the back, I remember I hit pads, and after I was like, damn, I'm gassed. Like, I know like it feels like that, but like I'm feel like extra gassed.
Yeah, no, I get it.
So yeah, and like figuring out your body is always hard, like, to be honest, but I feel like I've got it down now, especially after my last fight. I know what I need to do in order to be successful, and like I didn't get heavy lungs last fight or anything. I felt great 100%. So I knew that when I went in there, I was going to walk out with a W.
Now, how do you get into a mode where you're kind of in the octagon or whatever Cage Titans had there, that you know, you're a minute in and you kind of see what your opponent's all about and you're like, all right, I can get this knockout real quick. Like, what was your kind of game plan going into, and what was your notion of being like, all right, this is ending right now, we're done?
So my great coaches and I, well, my coaches came up with a good plan. He's a southpaw, wide stance. We looked at some film, so we were looking to chop that lead leg, chop it right down. And honestly, just stay out of his power range. Like he's a pretty good striker, you know, had pretty good boxing. And but when I was in there, honestly, when the fight first started, like we kind of had some beef coming into the fight. So I kind of wanted to rip his head off as soon as the bell rang. So I walked over and he socked me with a good two right in the face and it woke me up. And I was like, all right, we're in a fight. So I kind of just like started hitting him. And then adrenaline rushing, then shot for a single, went to the cage, defended that. And then once we got back to our feet, I was like, all right, back to the game plan, like relax, like you're going to be good. And I saw him send some good hard leg kicks. He didn't like it. He closed the distance and he sent two hard crosses. And after the first one, I shelled up and absorbed it. He didn't hit me, he just hit my arm. And my whole camp, I'd been working my shell defense, like absorbing shots and still being able to look. And I saw that his hand dropped immediately after the first two. So I was like, all right, because he had my lead hand occupied. He was kind of like grabbing my wrist glove. So I knew he couldn't hit me there. He couldn't hurt me. So after the second shot, I kind of just yanked back and hit him with a hook. And before I sent it, I said it before in Caged In with Chris DiCarlo. Shout out. Good guy. Great podcast.
Yeah.
I said that I knew I was going to put him out before just because he was a little lazy with retracting the hand. And I know my power and I know that I have the power to end it in one shot. And right. I know that. And after I hit him, I saw his eyes roll and I was like, all right, I got to finish this fight.
Well, I was going to say, well, you talked about you guys had a little bit of back and forth. I was going to say the animosity, not only with the knockout, the standover and celebration right after.
Yeah. Yeah, dude. Well, honestly, with that. So basically, I don't really like to talk that talk because, like, you know, I'm there to fight. Like, I don't play all that, like who's tougher bullshit, because we'll find out when we fight. And he just wanted, like, he didn't accept my handshake. He kept talking. Even when we were getting in the cage, he kept calling me small and shit. I was like, all right, dude, whatever. Like, what's good? And then the fight started and, like he didn't back it up, all the shit he was talking. So, like, honestly, like, if he hadn't disrespected me and, like, he was respectful, because if anything, I was doing him a favor, stepping in 9 days, like, 10 days notice. He was also supposed to fight for the title. So, like, two opponents. Brody and Kyle, I'm pretty sure he was supposed to fight. And yeah, so I just didn't understand it. So, but and my initial reaction after I knocked him down and out, TKO'd him, was, dude,
that's the guy to be right.
Honestly, I was just like, dude, like, honestly, like, it was just like in the heat of the moment, that's what felt right.
His nickname's the Rambling Man, which means he probably talks that shit.
Oh, he was murmuring after that knockout.
Yeah, bro. Yeah, well, you talking, dude.
You were saying what, like, when you're kind of going up and down of how you approach the fight, of you got hit right out of the gate. I just feel like all the fighters we go on, like, get really horny when they get punched in the face right out of the gate. Like, what kind of goes into that? You just like getting hit, or like I don't know, when you work out, like, it's probably just a part of the day.
I mean, yeah, it's a fight, man. I'm going to go in there and I know I'm going to get hit. So I don't really care. I'll do my best to avoid it, but I know you're going to hit me. So, like, that's, like, I know it's inevitable, man. It's a fight. So it's going to happen.
So with those two guys backing out and he was supposed to be fighting for a cage title, does that, like, mess up the odds as far as, like, do they want you fighting for a title shot, or they kind of want you coming back to build up to that level where you put him out?
So I'm aware that Brody McDougal got a shot, or wants a shot, May 27th, and he was originally supposed to fight for the title too. And I want to fight Brody. If that's for the title, I would fight him 100%. Great fighter. Like, I think it would be a great fight. It comes out of a very good gym as well. It would be a great fight. And I said that I would fight him in July. The only reason I cannot in May is because I've had a trip planned with my girl for a mad long time. And I can't just back out of that because, like, she'll get pissed at me and shit. So, like, I got to take care of that. And then when I'm back, if the offer's still on the table to fight him for the title, I would 100% do it. No question about it.
I'm like the worst best man, but I'd always say you can get better girls when you get that title shot win.
priorities.
Damn. Yeah, nah, I got to be a good boy.
Love that.
That a boy. So, you know, we have boxers on, MMA fighters. What made you get kind of in the sport of MMA? Because it seems like it's a lot more hectic than than boxing. I mean, you're kicking people, you can submit people, you can do the whole nine yards of trying to, you know, beat someone.
I like MMA a lot, simply because of the fact that anything can happen at any time.
Yeah.
And like, you might have a fight that's going your way the whole time, then one big shot can change it. So I really like that, because nobody's really out for the count unless they're out. And also just my family has a heavy kickboxing background, and both of my parents were professional kickboxers. My father was also a professional boxer that fought out of Lonsdale Gym in the UK and also fought out of Fifth Street Gym in Miami. So we have a little striking background. I've got two older brothers. Nice. Too. One of them fights Muay Thai and the other one trains Muay Thai and is a mechanic.
So you, speaking of Miami ties, I just want to give you a quick scenario of what you would do in the beginning of a fight here. So, okay, so Bruce Buffer just rang you in. It's your first UFC fight. The guy who you're about to fight, you know, has an unbelievable track record, but he just sits back on the octagon, and you're like, oh, what's going to happen? And then all of a sudden, the flying knee comes out. What would your first reaction be?
If that was his first, like,
yeah, like
move,
Jorge Masvidal type.
Yeah,
situation.
No, no, that's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Well, first off, I probably wouldn't start my fight out shooting like Ben Askren. Well, that's just my preference.
Yeah.
But if he did that, I'd be like, all right, bitch, what's up? Like, let's get, like, it's a fight. I don't care. Like, if he lands it, good for him. I'm still gonna try and rip his head off. If he doesn't, then I'm just gonna try and fuck him up even more.
Yeah, like, that was matter. Just all time. I remember seeing that live, and it was like, he just crumbled. He never got back.
Watching the replay too, yeah, like you said, dude, when he goes for that single leg shoot, it's so bad. He's like literally at his knee level.
Well, the thing is, like, Jorge and ATT, like Mike Brown, they actually like spoke about his Ben Askren's entries into like his takedowns and stuff. They're not very like traditional wrestling. Like, he kind of just like leans down and tries to single leg. So I remember I saw a video of Jorge talking about them planning that knee, and it was just great timing, good coaching, and better execution by a good fighter.
Yeah, and Askren was a national champion wrestler, right? Like, that was his game.
Oh, yeah, man. Yeah. Like, everybody likes to clown Ben Askren for that, but, dude, like, that dude was a beast, man. Like, he had some solid, solid wrestling. Like,
he took down some good, big names, even in his prime, too.
That's why, man.
Yeah, dude. He beat Robbie Lawler.
Yeah.
Had a good fight. Yeah, like,
choked his
like
ass
I
out.
Love Robbie yeah. Lawler, too. Yeah, bulldog choke. That was, yeah. I remember, that was still controversial. Lawler
it was. Went. It was so Lawler. Close. They called the last second. Remember, I had Lawler in that fight. Yeah.
Yeah, man, I would have had Lawler, too. I'm a big Robbie Lawler fan. Yeah.
And speaking of the bulldog choke, and you about to do the looking for a fight contender, I was actually at that encore event for the Calvin Cater's looking for a fight, and
I watched it too.
Chris Moutinho actually finished his fight with the bulldog choke, and everyone was like jacked up about that.
He's a dog.
Yeah, man.
He's a dog.
Yeah, he is a dog. I remember I heard him say something. I think it was along the lines of, I want to display like my grappling ability, that I can't just stand with people, which I think is a good, like, it's great for him, obviously, because we know he's tough. We know he's a good striker, and he's been
so
in
resilient.
There with the best
so
guys.
Resilient.
He's been in there with, like, some of the best guys in the world too.
Sugar O'Malley,
like,
yeah, yeah.
Yeah, dude. Like,
I know. I think they broke the record for most hits taken to the face ever in that fight.
Yeah, man. And that dude kept coming and coming and coming. That's a real fighter right there.
We had him on like 3 days after that fight, and he
looked fine.
He looked fine. He looked ready for war again. I thought when he showed up on the video that he was like, I don't know, like in the hospital or something. You know what I mean? He got beat. He got hit pretty well.
He
but,
was like at
he
the gym training or
yeah.
something.
Yeah, I don't know where he was. It looked like some like alley, like yeah. just getting ready for round two.
Yeah, fighting street fights. Yeah. But speaking of like your family background with the Muay Thai and kickboxing, so like growing up with the two brothers, do you think you take any part of their fighting or like your dad's Muay Thai boxing stances, or what do you think is your strong point when it comes to your fighting game?
I think my technique, my power, and also my fight IQ, I think are probably my best things. And also growing up around them, I didn't really start training fully. Like, I did karate when I was a kid, and like I did like some taekwondo, and like, but that when it was when I lived in Lima, Peru, when I was super young, and I went away from martial arts for a while. My brother really like, my brother Diego competed a bunch when he was around my age as well in Muay Thai. And like, honestly, like, my dad and my brothers and my mom, like, were my biggest inspirations to start fighting. And because I was a football kid, especially when I moved to the U.S., like, ever since I was young, I wanted to play football because I didn't get the opportunity to in Peru. Like, there was no, oh, wow. like, football there or anything, like, no American football.
Oh, so as soon as I got when did you move from Peru? Sorry to cut you off. I didn't.
Yeah, no, go for it. So I lived in Peru until I was about six, and then I moved to the UK because my dad originally is from Fulham, England, and we had some family there.
Oh, wow.
So we thought we'd move there and spend some time there. That's where my brother really started fighting a lot. And then we moved there. We lived there for about 5 years, and we moved when I was like 12 to the US because we had some family over in the US too. And like that was our plan all along, was to move to the US. But like it's a long process to do it like legally and everything.
Oh,
so,
for sure.
Like,
yeah, nine yards.
Yeah. Yeah. Because my oldest brother was born in Miami, Florida, because that's where my parents used to live in the 90s. And so like, yeah, we've been all around the world.
Miami, Florida, great spot, great beaches.
Yeah, man,
great
it's a great spot. Great
where are you
spot.
Going this weekend?
I'm going down to Miami this weekend.
Let's go.
A little bachelor party action. It's going to be fun.
Nice. That sounds like a good time.
And speaking of, when you talked about your management getting you that fight, so I know you're like represented by Tyler King, and I forget your other manager's name. Who's your agent's name again?
Tyler and Rich.
Yeah, and Rich. So
Rich is a good guy.
When I went to the fights at Encore, I actually sat next to Rich. And Tyler came up to me, and I was sitting next to Rich, and I guess I was in a seat, and this guy is behind me. He goes, "Hey, you're in my seat." And I literally turn around, I go, "You sure?" And I look at the size of him, I go, "Oh yeah, this is your seat. Hop right in." Yeah, my bad. But
yeah,
he's a self-proclaimed player coach. So is that who you're training with also?
Yeah. He does help me out a lot at the UFC gym down in Boston. Whenever I'm not up here during school, I do like I live basically an hour from the UFC gym and also an hour from Lakes Region Vallatudo. So like I'll go between them. I also train at Brazilian Top Team in Lynn. Shout out BTT Lynn. Great spot. Elite grapplers, great guys, Zach Danish, Luis Torres. Like great team.
The boys. Hell yeah. So I got to get into, I like getting into nicknames. So Toro, Aussie, Toro Martin. Where does that originate from? Seems pretty badass.
So that was my dad's name. When he fought basically like all of his life, that was his name, Toro, because he was a bull and he wouldn't stop. He's every punch, every kick, he's trying to hurt you, he's trying to put you out.
Just a bad out of hell. Love that.
Yeah, that's what I want. Like that's the energy I bring. Every shot I send, I want to hurt you. Like I want to inflict pain every time I touch you.
Yeah, so you're two fights in, so you're 2-0 right now.
Yes, sir.
You're only at 20 years old. I mean, that's very young for, you know, this sport right now. What kind of made you, you know, enter the, because your first fight was just last, you know, when's that, fall?
November.
Yeah.
November,
in the fall. So what made you be like turning around and be like, all right, let's do this for real?
I mean, I knew I wanted to be a professional fighter before my first initial fight. And I just knew like, it's in my blood. It's what I'm born to do. I know that I want to do, I know that like I was born to do it. I know I was. And, after that first fight, like even if I lost that first fight, like even if Mike Souza did break my arm in that arm bar, it wouldn't have mattered because I still would keep fighting and I'd still try and be the best I can. It doesn't matter win or lose. I'm just trying to challenge myself and become a better fighter every single day and every single fight.
And where do you get some of that motivation or inspiration?
Honestly, just I feel like it's a lot of my family and my dad and my brothers. And just like I had some trouble growing up just like with a bunch of things I'm not going to get into right now. But like it just like it feels good to be able to do this and just kind of tell everyone like, hey, like I'm not still that kid from high school. Like I'm still not that idiot kid that did all that stupid stuff. And I just got a lot to prove, basically. I got a lot to prove to everyone, and I won't stop like until I'm the best.
You know, what's on the horizon now? I mean, like I said, 2-0, just coming off your win last month. Anything in the cards here, or are you just training till you get another opportunity?
I'm training. I'm ready. If I wasn't going to Florida in May, because I'm basically gone for the whole month, and yeah. I'd definitely be getting ready for the fight against Brody.
But you gotta please the missus. You gotta do it. Yeah.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
So basically on my return, like I'm looking to fight whoever. I'm looking to fight good fighters, whether that be Brody or whoever it may be. I'm ready and I won't stay now.
And then, like, I'm not too fond on, like, the cage fighter, like, tournament in itself, but are they, like, connected with the UFC as far as, like, there's fighters that go from cage fighters to UFC? Is there a connection between the two? Like, opportunity to get a contract?
Cage Titans.
Cage Titans, sorry.
Yeah, no, you're good, you're good. Yeah, there's been a few fighters that have fought in Cage Titans. Like, Chris Matino fought for Cage Titans.
Yeah.
Rob Font has fought some amateur fights for Cage Titans. Yeah. So like there's definitely it's all about yourself and all about how hard you work.
I said Pete Barrett too from Abington. He fights in Cage Titans.
Yeah, dude.
Currently.
Yeah. And another fighter, Don, I forget his name. Good fighter though. He fought recently.
Yeah, you see.
So
you see Rob Font's fight over the weekend. What a knockout, huh?
Dude, yeah, man, I love Rob Font. I actually got a chance to meet Rob Font like early in my MMA like career. I got to work with with Rob Font and his brother Orlando.
Nice.
They're great people. It was a while ago. It was a long time ago. I'd love to work with them again. Like, they're great people and a great team, and have a lot of good fighters.
Do you remember if you learned anything from him? We had him on the show like last year. He's just a very insightful guy. Just seems like he's just like one of the boys, but just happens to be a famous UFC fighter.
Yeah, I spoke to him for a little bit. I kind of spent more time with Orlando, but Rob was like kind of there. But like, he's a phenomenal fighter, man. His striking, like his boxing, like the way he, like his power is great. Just like everything about him, like in striking as a striker. When I look at him, I'm like, damn, like I'm trying to be like that fighter.
He like actually keep going. Sorry.
Yeah, it's like the same with Calvin Kattar and stuff like that. Like their striking styles and like how tight they are, like. Especially Kattar's elbows. Like when I go professional, definitely that's something I'm going to be looking forward to.
The absolute hellfire elbows. And I'd say like one of my biggest compliments to Rob Font, his jab is probably the crispiest thing you ever see.
Dude, that's what I'm saying. Like his jab, I think like the jab has been lost, I think, in like boxing and MMA a little bit over the years. But like that's one thing that really sticks out about me about the New England Cartel is how tight their boxing is. I'm like, how like crisp their like technique is. It's like it's not only like fun to watch, but it's just like you can tell that they spend a lot of time mastering their craft.
Oh, drilled in. Like even you watch Rob, he does like the 1-1-2. Like he literally has the time to jab, pull back, land that same jab, and then just set up the second shot. Like it's absolutely insane.
Even just his resiliency. Man. Like he lost his last two fights. Going to this fight, he was an underdog against. I didn't really know too much about him, but Adrian Yanez seems like an up and coming UFC guy. Everyone kind of favored the other guy. Rob Font comes in first round, handles his business, gets him on the canvas, finishes him off. It was just great to see.
For
Massachusetts. New England. It was great.
He's a great fighter, Rob Font. And Adrian Yanez is a great fighter as well. Like, that was definitely, like, a really, really good fight. And a lot of people, I think, wrote off Rob Font, which is, like, ridiculous. Because Bantamweight is a crazy stacked division.
It's
There's
so
many
stacked.
Dogs there.
Yeah.
Like, so many dogs. So even the fact that he was able to, like, not only, like, finish in the first round, but, like, easily beat an up and coming hungry prospect still shows that he's still got so much in the tank and he's still coming for that gold.
All right. And I got a question for you. Whose knockout was better, Rob Font's this weekend or yours at Cage Titans?
What's a good one?
Nah, man. Rob Font was badass. His head bat. Like, dude, I want a knockout like that. I want a vicious knockout like that, man. My knockout was cool, but like that, like it was all right. But like, I want like clean people like that, dude. I want to hurt people and finish people like him.
You think about that too. You're only like 20 years old, two like round fights on your belt. This dude's got 26 fights in. He's 35 years old, man. So you just have such a future ahead of you. And like, there's just a lot of opportunity, I bet, to come your way.
Yeah, I'm super excited about that. And I know, like, win, lose, or draw any fight. I'm coming in to win every single. I'm coming in to hurt you. I'm coming in to finish you. And even though win, lose, or draw, like, the goal is still the same. I'm still trying to be the best. And I don't care who I have to fight in order to prove that. It doesn't matter to me. I'm just ready.
Hell yeah. And like we said, you're a Plymouth State guy currently. I know all the spots in there. I'm sure there's a couple Plymouth State alum listeners. You know, just say if you didn't make dinner tonight, where do you think you'd head in for, you know, a nice dish? Give me something good.
Damn, dude, you know what? Fat Fish is fire. It's a good spot.
Well, that's a new one then. That's a new one.
Yeah, it's a new one. Yeah. And also this Greek place is new, but the dog is like always nice to go and eat there.
The Lucky Dog, you had the Panther Pub, Do they still got Six Burner Bistro?
Yeah, I think they do actually.
Place is heat. Buffalo chicken, mac and cheese. I know that's not the best for your, you know, MMA diet, but sneak it in. Oh, it's great.
Yeah, no, dude. Like, honestly, I like to eat, but I keep pretty like strict throughout the week. Like, I don't really like to like indulge that much, but I do indulge when I want to. And Saturday night after training or something like that.
Yeah, what would be your indulgence meal? Like, say you even just want a big dub, coming off a strong like training camp. What's like your first meal after that fighter? Like, what's your go-to? Dessert?
Dude, last time I had, after this previous fight, I had a double cheeseburger on an English muffin from this shop, and it was fire. It was so good. I was like, damn, that shit's fire.
I bet at that point anything would be bomb. Just like, dude, fresh off it.
Yeah, because honestly, though, like, I don't cut weight for fight to fight. I fight in my natural weight. I don't really believe in weight cutting.
Oh, right.
So I usually, like, I probably walk around at like 181, 182, max, like 184, 185. And throughout my diet, my fight camp, my diet's super strict, and it kind of naturally comes off. And but I still have all my strength. Like, obviously, the last two fights, it's worked out pretty well.
I do have a little bit of a favor to ask for you.
For sure.
So, like, a couple years ago, up at Plymouth State, I think it was, like, going into the year, there was, like, people dressing up as clowns and, like, walking around being weird, like, taking pictures of themselves. And, like, long story short, like, kids ended up beating them up. Can I get maybe if it happens again that you'd be the first one to hop on board and getting them out of Plymouth?
Well, yeah, bro. I mean, like, I don't have like any beef with anyone. But if some clown dude dressed up as a clown is coming at me and trying to fuck with my shit, I'm a big dude. Go away.
Yeah, like, no, they seemed like I'm not a big American Horror Story, but I think that's like something that's like in that and like. That's what it seemed was.
Wait, it was like people were dressing up like clowns and going around doing dumb shit.
Yeah, like killer clown type like attitudes,
like
and stuff.
Trying to spook people out, and it's like, nah, dude, it's not cool.
Yeah, dude, if one of them came out, I'd probably punch him in the face.
Dude,
and
clowns,
dude, you brought it upon yourself, dude.
I'm telling you, dude, clowns, turkeys, like I've had enough of them. Turkeys walking around, the worst.
Why up in Plymouth State?
You gotta wait for them to cross the street.
No, just in general, anyway. If you got a flock of turkeys just pissed off. They could be a bat out of hell. And those things fly, dude. Those things are on trees. Absolute menaces.
Yeah, man.
But, yeah. So I'd have to say just good luck on your training. Good luck for the next fight. Have fun in Florida. And I really hope you get that opportunity.
Yeah, Ozzy, if you ever come, you know, Boston area, Braintree, come on into the studio here. We'll have a good time.
For sure, dude. Yeah. I'm going to be around Mass a lot during the summer. So I'm down to come back. Maybe if I do end up fighting in July or if I end up fighting around then, because I know I do want to take like it's important for me to take some time also to develop my skill. But I think that like I'm at a good point where I'm ready to fight. So when I come back, I'm definitely ready to compete and I'm definitely actively looking for a fight.
And we'll definitely try and help hook you up with the New England Cartel guys, trying to tighten up your boxing a little bit, get a little training with them.
Yeah, man, they're good guys. One of my one of my football coaches from high school is like super tight with them. Tommy Walsh, shout out Tommy Walsh. He's a G,
nice,
great guy. He's the one who hooked me up in the first place back in the day with training with them, and super nice guy. Great team. Like it'd be cool to train with them again. You know, I love cross training. I love getting different looks from different people. Like it's super super important. I think as an athlete, especially nowadays, to go and get information from different gyms and different like really pick people's brains. Because there's some good fighters out there, and there's some good coaches, especially in New England.
Where would be like this is kind of my last question here. Where would be like a venue you'd want to go to, like?
Yeah, where's your like your time? Title fight? Who you fight, and where you going for it?
I don't care. I honestly don't care, man. I'll fight whoever, wherever, whenever. Back, like I don't care if it's like at some dude's back garden in a freaking rickety cage, dude. I'll fight for a belt.
Would you ever want to do like a Peruvian like arena, kind of like bring it back to like your home country?
Oh, that would be sick, dude. That would, of course, 100% Peru. Like that would be insanely cool. That would be super, super sick.
I bet fighting at the MGM though in Vegas, that'd be pretty cool. Just like getting in the UFC, getting an opportunity there. But you know, that's obviously down the road for you. I mean, that definitely could happen.
Of course, man. Yeah. Well, I'm aiming for the best. I'm aiming to get wherever. Like I'm in it for the long run. So you're going to get used to seeing me a lot because I want to fight. I want to make a name for myself. I want to be the best, you know, and I got, you know, these two fights from November to March. Like, it was a good time, and I was ready for those, and it felt good to get those. As soon as I had my first fight, I felt like I had weight lifted off my shoulders. I was like, all right, like, I feel good. And took a little bit of time, not that long though. So, you know, I don't like to take that long in between fights, but I think it's important to take a little bit of time to develop my skills, because I'm still a little young in this game. So, you know what I'm saying? I'm still trying to get better every single day.
And my last question here is, with Izzy winning the belt back this weekend, are you a anime fan?
I don't particularly watch anime, like, just in my spare time. Like, that's not something like I'd stick on, but I don't knock it whatsoever, dude. You know, it's cool.
Love it.
He's an anime guy. I couldn't give a shit, but.
And, nice. Also, like, one of the only posts I put up that you like harder was I'm wearing a In God We Trust shirt. So, like, you believe in, like, the, like, spirituality too? Is that kind of like one of your strong points?
Heavily, heavily, heavily. I'm a very religious man. I'm a Christian. I do believe in God, Jesus Christ, 100%. That's very important in my life. And very important in my family's life. And before I go out there every single fight, like, I know he's giving me strength, and I know he's within me. And so he gives me strength every time I go out there and I go to war.
Oh yeah.
He's pulled me out of some very dark places in my life. And he's just blessed me with everything I could ever ask for, man. Like, I'm young, I'm healthy, I got a roof over my head. I have the ability to fight. Some people, like, they just wish, they dream it, but they can't do it because it's like physical disability or something, you know. Like, I'm blessed to be healthy, and I'm blessed to be young and athletic, and where I am and surrounded with the people I am to get this exposure.
Fucking love it.
Love it. Ozzie Toro Martin, man, appreciate you joining us tonight, and best of luck going forward. We'll be looking out probably this summer. We'll see you.
Yeah, man. Keep in touch.
Hell yeah. Fun.
Thank you for having me.
Go Panthers.
Look for the ball coming in. Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
The new year is almost here, and if you're looking to shed off some holiday pounds before beak season, well, look no further and head on down to Slight Edge Fitness Performance, located at 101 French Avenue in Braintree, Massachusetts. Owned and operated by our guy, Quincy legend, Craig Kelly. You will be assured that you are getting the best training around. They believe in only the highest standards of physical fitness training and have been leading the charge at their state-of-the-art fitness facility since 2020. Their staff is actively enriching the lives of members and creating a community of like-minded people who love being healthy and strong. They are helping you to get in shape and teaching you how to maintain your health and fitness. Group fitness classes as well as one-on-one personal training sessions are available. Make sure to visit slightedgefit.com and also follow them on Instagram at slightedgefitness and set up a consultation today. If you're looking to get back in shape or trying to get a slight edge on the competition, this gym is for you. Check out Slight Edge Fitness and Performance, located at 101 French Avenue in Braintree, Massachusetts, and tell them the boys from Steel and Nas sent you.
And that was upcoming MMA fighter 2-0, fresh off a knockout in Cage Titans, Ozzie Toro Martin. You know, great to hear. Kid's only 20 years old. He's talking from a damn dorm room, for crying out loud. Kid seems raw, ready to ride, and hope the best for him. Seems like he's got a lot going on with his girlfriend. Yeah. But come summertime, kid's going to be fucking slicing and dicing.
Yeah, he's got his priorities right. He's being a good boy. I'm always going to influence that the other way, but hey, that's me. That's my prerogative.
So leading on, I was going to start with basketball, but that's just disrespectful to the greatest team in all of the world right now, in the Boston Bruins. Sunday, they took apart the Philadelphia Flyers 5-3. Breaking the all-time wins record in the NHL, 63-12, 5, 2 games left. They're currently playing the Washington Capitals right now, tied 0-0 after the first period, recording on Tuesday night here. They finish the season with the Montreal Canadiens Thursday night. So just out of the rip, I mean, are they peaking too early? I've been hearing that all season. Are they peaking too early? Is this nice? Have you seen a team win this many games and then go on and have a successful postseason, and it's cup or bust?
I don't know. That's kind of hard to say if they're peaking too early. I just think this team's that good. Even Pasta coming out the other night, getting 60 goals to that right now at this point. They broke the record that night. Like, I just think there have been all cylinders firing all seasons long. You look at all four of our lines, it's literally stacked. There's no way any other team's going to compete with our second, third, or fourth line, never mind our first line, who's absolutely producing. Like, we just go too deep right now.
The third line right now is Bertuzzi, Coyle, and Taylor Hall. All those guys could be on a first line for different teams.
100%. Like, leading the team.
I've been saying it the last couple of weeks. That fourth line, there's going to be a tough, healthy scratch come playoff time. There's going to be someone in a suit and tie sitting up in the grandstand because they're not good enough to play on this team. And, you know, there's a lot of people in this league who aren't good enough to play on this team. MVP of this team this year, hat trick in the game-clinching game the other night against Philly. David Pastrnak just on another mission. I can't believe he's already played on this team for 9 seasons. He's got 8 more in his contract. That's an easy 17. 88 is going to go up there in the rafters. But, you know, let's put that on the back burner for a little bit because this team's got some motion heading into postseason play. There's still a little bit more to play out. I don't think there's a full, you know, who they're going to play right now in the wild card. They play the second best team in the wild card. The Panthers right now sitting at 92 points, Islanders 91, and the Penguins at 90. Sabres hanging around at 87 points, 79 games total, so they have 3 more there. They have a game in hand, so 4 teams possibly you could be playing. Right now, I think the team you want to stay away from, I said this last week, is the New York Islanders, who I think are Sabakin, their goalie is, if it wasn't for Linus Ullmark, he'd probably be the Vezina or whatever the goalie trophy is. But you know, you got to come out, it's playing, and whoever you play, you got to play at the top of your advantage. You're going to play the best to be the best, you know?
I mean, we've been tooting his horn all season, but Ullmark is just absolutely fucking standing on his head every game, making these showboat saves, stopping one-on-ones. Like, it's just insane, his ability.
They both are. It's crazy.
Yeah, even Swayman. Sway Daddy Chill. I mean, you can't really knock him either. I mean, hey, I'm not scared if we have to go switch up our goalies like a couple games in, like kind of give Ullmark a break. I have full confidence in Swayman also.
Yeah, I think they should mix in a game or so. It depends what they are in a series. On the injury forefront, David Krejci out for the rest of the regular season. Hopefully they can plug him in back in the second line, come postseason play, get that check line rolling. Pavel Zacha close to 20 goals. Pastrnak on the side there, Krejci, that's just a great line there, great guys who distribute the puck really well, play, you know, a great forecheck, back check on both ends. Also want to give a big shout out to BU guy. I know a bunch of Comessos in the Marshfield area. Drew Comesso, after a great couple years with BU, inks a 3-year deal with the Blackhawks. I'll look for him to be a good goalie in this league to come, as you know, the Chicago's building up. You know, this Eastern Conference is a wagon. I mean, first round, you're going to see the Toronto Maple Leafs and Tampa Bay Lightning, and you're going to see the New Jersey Devils against the New York Rangers, probably. Devils actually still fighting the Hurricanes, who the Hurricanes have been leading the Metropolitan Division all season, and they have a chance to overtake them. As good as the Bruins have, as great as they are, as great as deep as any given series, any of these teams I could see, you know, beat them.
I mean, and that's who Steele's number one pick is right now for Carolina. So I would love for them to get a little less hot and kind of go into the playoffs as like kind of like not have high momentum. But another thing I wanted to ask you too, is David Krejci signing for that 8 years? Is that one of the greatest re-signings within the last 10 years in the
Boston? Pastrnak?
Oh yeah, Pastrnak, sorry, not Krejci.
Oh yeah. I'd probably say one of the greatest.
I'd say like maybe even top spot, because I think we're like infamous for Boston sports team. Doesn't matter what team we're talking about. We kind of have a tendency to get rid of these top players that we don't want to pay for whatever reason be.
That's the Red Sox, but yeah, I'll cut you.
Even the Patriots. I mean, we've passed up on a lot of good opportunities for players that we just didn't want to pay the big money to. And I know that comes down to the coaching level at one point.
And have a number 12 under center, but you don't have that anymore.
I mean, even with him, he probably could have got treated better to the point he'd want to stay.
I agree. 20 years, it could have been longer.
He was like number 10 on the pay list for like the fact that Ben Roethlisberger ever had a higher pay grade than Tom Brady on the NFL field is absolutely disgusting.
Yeah.
Joe Flacco getting another deal. Like all these young quarterbacks making all this money over him. I always used to say back in the day, pay the man his goddamn money.
Ridiculous. And it just, we keep back on the Bruins and keep reiterating all season. You know, going into this year, I bet if you go back to our podcast that were in, you know, September, we were clowning on this team. Half the team was injured. They weren't supposed to come back till the new year. They didn't. That long story short, that didn't happen. They got really hot to begin with. They rode that out throughout the whole season. 131 points sitting right now. Just a total upbeat in this team. You would think it'd be Bergeron and Krejci's last years. I think if they win, they're probably out. But if they don't win, I mean, they have a solid core to run it back again. Not going to say they're going to win 63 games in a season ever again, but I think this is a team that's going to compete for years to come, especially with Monty there at the helm as head coach, because Jim Montgomery is going to win coach of the year. They should win the coach of the year, two-way player in Bergeron, and the goalie with Ullmark. I mean, that should be a sweep. MVP, I wish Pastrnak could win it, but there's a guy named Connor McDavid on the Edmonton Oilers who's got about 150 points. So I'm sorry, Pastrnak, but you're not going
to
win that.
Even, you know what I like too about the Bruins is like just the point differential, like the plus 124 on, if you look at any other team, like within the top five teams in that, even that metropolitan area, it's around like a 20 point range. Like just the chemistry and how bad we're beating teams. I think one of the biggest things that's going to drive us far into these playoffs is beating teams early, kind of getting out of the 4-0 sweeps and just getting on to the next round, just keeping everyone healthy, keeping everyone safe, keeping everyone's legs fresh. And I think it's going to be one of the biggest parts.
To your point, their goal differential this season is plus 124. The next one, Connor McDavid, hence, plus 61. So they're up by
literally double.
Double, yeah, 63
that's
goals.
Fucking insane. Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, we're just, there's no, I can't say with confidence that I would bet against this team to not win the Stanley Cup.
Yeah,
this year.
I just, if this was like basketball, I'd be like, no questions asked. Hockey, it's just, that's why the NHL playoffs is the best, because it's just so, you saw Tampa do this a couple years ago. They didn't win as many games as the Bruins did, but they won 60 plus games and they got swept in the first round to a wild card team.
Right.
So that's what you kind of, I'm not like just like looking for that moment where they're going to lose. That's just not how I operate, but I also, this is not going to be a cakewalk by any means.
No, I agree. Yeah. I feel like the NHL is like the biggest thing to like fighting. Like almost anything can happen on that ice. Like once the puck gets rolling, there's no stoppage of play. I mean, goals get tallied up quick, especially like you see worst lead in hockey is 2-1 lead. Like it's easy to come back in hockey. It's easy to change momentum. It's easy to like, you know, some days the ice is just tilted your way.
Yeah, they're winning one goal games. They're playing teams that stink that they take a night off and, you know, one of the goalies saves it for them. They win a quick 2-1. I just remember that game in Calgary like a month or two ago. They got outshot by probably like 25 and they won by like two goals. And that was insane. It's just a team that can, you know, they're not going to have any off. They're not going to take any nights off during the playoffs, hopefully. But, you know, I just hope their best. It is crazy to say, it's hard to say, their best hockey has yet to come because they've played so damn well. They've won six in a row, and I think these last six games probably haven't even mattered at all.
No, yeah. But I think to them, they definitely wanted to break that record. You know, that was in the back of their head, whether or not they're
already known. Hockey's the type of game, you think about it, like football, if you're getting like week 18, you already made the playoffs, you play all your backups. You know, basketball-wise, same thing. You sit all your players. Baseball on the hand, you don't pick your guys. Hockey, if you half-ass it, you're not just going to get beat on the scoreboard. You're going to get hurt.
Right.
You know, you're going to get hurt. And these guys, you know, you can't – there's a rule you can only call, like, three guys up from Providence, like, per, you know, call-up or whatever it is. It's something like that. Long story short, you can't bench your first and second line because you're not going to have enough guys to play.
Right.
So, yeah, that's what hockey kind of has. And you have to wear and tear a tough 82-game season plus playoffs. I mean, if they do what we want this year, they're going to be playing around 100, over 100 games.
I mean,
that's crazy.
So they imagine this. They win the Stanley Cup this year. Are they undeniably – I mean, obviously it's kind of immortalized with the win totals, but are they going to be known as the best hockey team to ever exist?
They should be. They should be. As a Boston Bruins fan, absolutely. Obviously, you're going to get different takes from around the country, but I don't know, man. If you have the best record in regular season and you go and win the title, I just don't know how there's a lot of how you can say they're not. Like,
even just the highlights this year, the chemistry in total, the goalie situation.
It makes more of like a – I hate to compare everything with Tom Brady, but like
– the 07 seven, season.
No, but like seven Super Bowl rings, like you can't contest with that.
Right.
Like breaking the wins record and then winning the whole thing.
Just, I mean, that's the same – that's like the debate with LeBron where he's three for six. I mean, you give him those extra titles. I mean, it's the same thing with the Bruins, though. I feel like they've always kind of been in contention for the for the running, but never like taken to this level. So,
fuck yeah. So on the front of the closest playoffs to start in Boston, the Celtics are going to host the play-in winner this Saturday at the TD Garden, 3:30 p.m. start on ESPN. Right now they're playing. It's the Hawks and Heat. Hawks actually leading by 7 here. I'd rather play the Hawks right now. I don't think the Hawks really have a lot of promise in terms of defense. They got a combo with DeJounte Murray and Trae Young that, you know, guys who are like just living on a prayer. DeJounte Murray got traded this past offseason because San Antonio didn't want to pay him. Trae Young, you know, his stock has just gone down because he can't play any defense. Just seems like a team that I think the Celtics could beat them in 5 games. On the other hand, the Miami Heat are the same Miami Heat as last year, but I do get a little bit worried about Jimmy Butler, who is one of the clutchest guys I've seen in this sport in a long time. They have guys in Bam Adebayo who, you know, give them problems on the boards, Tyler Herro. And they got guys like Kevin Love, Caleb Martin, Kyle Lowry. I know they're not, you know, players that they used to be, even Victor Oladipo when he gets in. But if you give them a game or two, even Duncan Robinson, a game or two to, you know, hit shots, be that 20-point guy to assist, you know, a Jimmy Butler, a Bam Adebayo, you could be looking at a long series there, 6 or 7. I still would take the Celtics in both of them. I think the Celtics have had a phenomenal season. What has trumped them this season is losing to bad teams. The reason why they're second in the Eastern Conference is because they lost to the Houston Rockets.
Right.
It's because they've – who else can I name? I think they lost to the Detroit
Pistons.
The
Magic, I believe.
They lost to the Magic, too. But this team on paper, I think, is the best team in the NBA. I mean, you think about Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, both should be all NBA guys, depending on what team they are. Malcolm Brogdon, 6th man of the year, definitely a candidate for that. And then you guys on the forefront of who are getting healthy right at the right time. And Robert Williams, who's your big man on both sides of the floor. Al Horford is a good floor general, good veteran leadership guy. Danilo Gallinari, he's coming back. Could be a nice shot off the bench. Let's see. Grant Williams would get some pull. Derek White has been the most underrated player on this team all year on both sides of the court. At one point, he was averaging 20 points a game in like 20 straight games.
Same thing. Like the deep teams are what it's going to take you to the championship level. Yeah. I got to highlight someone is Peyton Pritchard is on fire right now with his dimes to the point where I'm scared he's like developing in that training camp of the Celtics facility where he's probably going to want to be looking to get out of here to go kind of man his own team as far as like his skill ability and kind of just where he sees himself.
He's gone. Like he had 30 points in their last game because like they benched everyone. So he got some pull and obviously made some of his opportunity because he's a great offensive player. I could see him easily being like a 6 or 7 guy off the bench. Obviously this is going to be his last year in Boston. Wish him nothing but the best. Seems like he's been a real class act.
Sam Hauser stood out the other day too.
Yeah,
he had a great game.
Yeah, but he's getting Peyton Pritchard's minutes from last year because Sam Hauser is 6'7" and can play defense while Peyton Pritchard is 6'1".
Right.
That's the difference between those two players is height.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is that's what gets me nuts about basketball is both those guys are dynamic in their own way offensively, and what separates them is it's not talent, it's just what you were born with.
Yeah, and honestly, that's what the Celtics have been missing for a while. I said it last year, I said it the year before, like, We needed that strong center. That's why I even like Robert Williams. Like he really stepped up this year. I feel like that was a huge addition to his game of just staying down low on the rebound offensive boards. We would never have second chance opportunities down low. Now we're firing everything back. He's over the back of everyone, kind of fighting for those, showing more aggression down low. So if we can gain more height in any single aspect, that's where we got to go with.
And can we get this man Blake Griffin a championship? Can we please get this man a championship?
He doesn't have one.
No, doesn't.
I thought he
played. No, he's played on some shit teams.
I thought he. I thought his last team. I thought he had a.
He got swept in the first round by the Celtics last year on Brooklyn. Played for Detroit. They were fucking awful. He was good though. He averaged like over 20 points. Played for the Clippers. Got drafted by the Clippers. I think they got to like a Western Conference final, but never made it to the final round.
Is he going to be dressing when he's in the first round of the playoffs?
Yeah, he won't be playing though, but I think
I'd love to see you. That's how you get the crowd going though. Throw Blake Griffin in there, like tight game almost, have the bench on there, have him throw down a major dunk that the Garden's going to be going wild.
See, I got him like as like a 10th or 11th guy, so if anyone goes down, like any big man, he'll get a call. And if they get if they play a team who's kind of undersized, who, you know, he can play with he's 6'9" right now, he can play with the 4. He can play with the 5. I could see him maybe getting on the court. JD Davidson, who played for the Maine Celtics all season. I'm just looking at his names right now. Young, up-and-coming kid from Alabama. He had unbelievable stuff the other night. Looks like he jumped out of his shoes. If you look at if we can pull up the picture, I don't know. But he has like a 4. He had like a 4 foot vertical. It was incredible. He claims he can jump higher than Jalen Brown. Jalen Brown can jump pretty damn high.
I don't know. I believe it. Yeah. I'm a Jalen Brown hater. So, I'm sorry.
Either Hawks or Heat. Hawks are winning right now, but for some reason, I think the Heat are going to win their home floor tonight.
34. They're up by eight.
Yeah, it just seems like some veteran. But who knows? If he hits that shot, they're going to win. Nope.
Yep. He did not.
It's over. You heard it first. So Heat are playing the Celtics. Last topic of the night. We got to get out of here. We got some shit to do. The Boston Red Sox standing at 5-5 right now. I think they are playing right now against the Rays.
Yep.
How's that going? Oh, down 5-0. How's that going?
Nice.
10-0 Rays. Who's pitching for them?
Is there a score in the first inning?
Yeah, there was.
Oh, nice. I'm fucked.
Franco double the center.
There goes my parlays.
There you go. So far, kind of what I expected, just like not good starting pitching. They got it together against a really bad Detroit team, swept them, and then they lost a guy who's been kind of carrying them outside of Rafael Devers and Adam Duvall. He broke his wrist, probably going to be out till the season doesn't even matter anymore in June, July. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when this team just starts collapsing. I'm not going to talk good about this team all year until they prove me wrong. Kind of like my Marcus, it's his Marcus Smartism for me until he proves me wrong. But, you know, promising lineup, I would say, to a point. I still don't know why they have Masataka Yoshida, although I'm a big fan of him. He's not a four-hitter, guys. He's not a four-hitter. Why is he batting fourth for this team? You look at this lineup tonight. Look at this lineup tonight. Let's see. Who are they playing? All right, so you got Kiki leading off, batting 0.088. I mean, that's not a good start. Rafi Devers, two spot golden. Justin Turner, I mean, if you have Justin Turner as your three hitter at age 38, not going to go well. Masataka Yoshida, my point exactly, should probably be the leadoff hitter. I mean, I think that's smart. He's pretty good at taking pitches. Rob Ref Snyder, great athlete in center field, taking over Adam Duvall. Alex Verdugo, probably the best. He's probably been the best hitter besides Adam Duvall. And Devers there can probably bat him wherever. Christian Arroyo sucks. Bobby Delbach just got the call up, big hit last night. Not going to shit on him. And Connor Wong, I don't even know why he's in the MLB. Guy couldn't get a hit to save his life. Garrett Whitlock, how you doing? 8 hits, 5 earned runs. First start since last year. It's going to be a long season.
How's the pitching staff looking this year?
Really bad. Their bullpen's good. Kelly Jansen coming over from, I think he played for the Braves last year, but had a stellar career with the Dodgers. Chris Martin, another guy from the West Coast they picked up.
So we don't have a standout starter yet.
Winchowski, he was great out of the pen. Actually, their best starter this year has been Nick Pivetta, their five. I personally, he's just a dog. I don't know if you remember the Jake Peavies of the world or, you know, one of those grinders. Yeah. He's just a grinder, man. Like, he's just like screaming, fuck yeah, after like strike threes the other night. He's throwing up, you know, when you're a pitcher, you're told to kind of keep the ball down from these hitters. He's just rocking 96 mile an hour fastballs up in the zone, striking these motherfuckers out. I love it. I love his play. I enjoy watching the game of baseball, but I will sit down for a good 5 innings to watch that guy pitch any day of the week.
I mean, we talked about it before. You shit on me and Anton for saying this, but I think the best year the Red Sox were is in 2011 when they had
the chicken.
No, when they had Johnny Gomes.
Was 2013.
2013. I'm a huge believer in your attitude in baseball and your motivation and just your overall high spirit is going to change like the just your pace of play on the field.
It's
so
contagious.
Yeah, it really is. So I love that type of attitude, yelling fuck yeah, getting everyone involved in the situation. Same thing, like I feel like that's what we've been missing from the Red Sox is kind of someone to stand out and have that, like, even look back at the Big Poppy, this is our fucking city, like that, a lot of that stuff it translates to how you play on the field. Like, you got to show effort.
As if that was such a fascinating, because that was not even, they probably weren't even a top 10 team on paper
at the time,
like the whole season. Probably not a top 10 team on paper, but to your point, it was contagious. Obviously, Big Poppy did Big Poppy things, but you're talking about a guy, Mike Napoli, at the back end of his career. Shane Victorino, that was probably his last pull he got in the major leagues. Johnny Gomes with a big-time World Series home run. Ended up playing for, like, the Royals or something after that and calling it quits. I mean, think about Jacoby Ellsbury got a contract after that. didn't play like really for the Yankees at all. Steele was here, he would be going off because he hates Jacoby because of that. You go back there, Dustin Pedroia was really never the same there either.
No one's got a beard like they did back in the day, too. Oh, that might be what we're missing.
I still have that. I have a cutoff shirt that I have like all of them, like David Ross,
yep.
Jared Saltafacchia.
Saltafacchia Mada.
What a guy. What a guy.
What do we got lined up? Yeah, I know you're going away this weekend. There's actually a big pop-up event. Ooh. For Prosciutto Poppy and Tommy Guarino.
Oh, I was going to go. I was going to go, but I'm not going to make it.
Selling their new hats on Saturday at 7 o'clock in Wilmington. So if you're looking to get some Big Poppy and...
My family went to the New England Free Jacks last weekend, said it was a great take.
Yep.
We're hoping we can get in there. We're not going to confirm it yet, but hoping we can get in there later this month.
I know. I think Justin went to the season opener,
see the
too.
Guys. Yeah, no, my family's obsessed with it. They're like, oh, who's trying to go to the Free Jacks? Also, big shout out to the Dirt Dogs U11 team. Got a big dub over the Quincy Red Stockings this weekend. That's my team, I coach.
All right.
Big dub.
Shout out to the Dogs.
Big couple strikeouts.
Dirt Dogs.
Dirt
yeah, dog big and... big shout out to the New England Cartel boys with Rob Font this
weekend.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah, that was amazing.
Obviously, the Adesanya stuff was great. The Masvidal, Gilbert Burns was kind of boring, but Masvidal retired. You knew exactly what was going to happen there. But, man, Rob Font, did he put on a show.
Absolute fucking show. So, really, really, all hats off to the coaches. There's a sick photo where Rob Font's actually standing over him as the ref is, like, trying to, like, protect him so he doesn't drop the bomb on him. And Tyson's in the background, like, same thing, like, fuck yeah.
Because
like,
maybe they awesome expected job. It. Maybe their corner expected it. But I don't think too many people expected what was going to the outcome of that fight.
I mean, you look at the favorite at odds just from Vegas alone. But like,
he's a dog. Yeah,
yeah. But I feel that 100%. Like everyone kind of counted him out after those last two fights. Yeah, I mean, he kind of got, who was it? Chito Vera and
Marlon Vera. He lost you, but no, he beat Cody Garbrandt. He was kind of on a roll before that. Same with Calvin Kattar. I mean, Calvin Kattar ran into. Max Holloway
they've been fighting fucking legends in the game.
Yeah.
It's not like they're easy fights either.
Which one of them fought Jose Aldo? One of them fought Jose Aldo.
Wasn't that? Yeah, that was Rob Font.
Was it Rob Font?
Yeah. Yeah, I think that was his last fight. Yeah, so before that, so it was Vera and
two in a row
and Aldo,
yeah.
Which are two literal fucking absolute monsters of the game. So same thing, like a lot of people count him out over that. I know his like age is a little bit like kind of in the area where they're talking about people getting out of their primes, but like same thing with his striking on, and as much as I saw that, his power's there. I can only see good things coming from Rob Font.
That's the crazy thing about UFC too. I don't necessarily think like 25 is your prime. I think like 35 is your prime.
I think that's like your actual physical prime of strength is around like that 33 age mark, especially from fighting, especially when you've been like, it's kind of like experience at that level. That's why I'm even talking to Ozzy tonight, where he's 20 years old and then he's having fucking viral knockouts like that. Like that video went pretty fucking public. I don't know if it was just the knockout alone, but we're going to show up the video in one of our clips. His fucking celebration is fucking amazing. He does the fucking Stone Cold Steve Austin shakes it. And I think he might get the double.
Must see TV.
Yeah.
Show that at the Panther Pub. It'd be great to see. We'll wrap up here. Episode 120. Big shout out to Hedge Better, Justin, everything you do. Slight Edge Fitness and Performance. Get it on down to 101 French Avenue in Braintree, Massachusetts. Craig Kelly put on a fucking clinic out there. It's getting hot out, people. Got to show those bods out soon.
Craig's in his fucking bag right now. He's been working out like a monster. He's been hotter on the social media aspect too. He's going to put on a lot more content when it comes to that end. So shout out, Craig. We see what you're doing over here.
Well, this is Patrick J. Foley. Good luck in the marathon. Marathon Monday this Monday.
He's going sub-4. I can feel it this year.
I think sub-4. He said a little, he was talking about his hamstring or some shit.
He's being modest.
Yeah, he's going to kill it.
Yeah, he's an animal.
We put on a fucking show that fundraiser, dude. That was very impressive.
Oh, so you guys ended up going there?
So we won, yeah. Okay. Steel was in a body bag. He could barely move. But yeah, me and shout out Nick Dolan. We went in there. Peter saw Justin, producer Justin, in there for a little bit too. It was a good time.
Me and Jimmy have frequented those a couple times. And like I said, he always does a great thing for charity, always helping out the kids. So big shout out to it. Also, another shout out for running the marathon this weekend. We got Steve Gargan, Zach Bailey, my boy John Ross. I'll be waiting at mile 26.
He's running.
He's going for a I'm going to put a line out because he's saying he's going sub 415. So
he's got the long legs. He's got to get the long legs.
Dude, right? Andy Dowd ran like a 353 last year. So I don't understand how short people run shout out Andy Dowd. No, it's my fangirl. But yeah, shout out John Ross. It's going to be a great weekend. I'll be at the, how about this? I'm looking up tickets, $100 Green Monster tickets front row the other day.
Wow.
For some reason, I didn't fucking buy them. Next day, some guy bought them that night, re-put them up for $500 a piece. I ended up spending fucking $80 a ticket anyways. I don't know what the fuck
going,
I was thinking.
You got on the game?
Yeah. Marathon Monday is the greatest holiday in Boston.
Actually, I think Shohei Ohtani's throwing.
Oh, for the Angels, right?
Yeah. Game.
Yeah. So that's gonna be a sick game. So Marathon Monday, if you're in town, I'll be at the game at 11 a.m. Game probably ends around 1 o'clock. I'll be at Mile 26, Firehouse, Boylston Street. You can see me. It's actually Loco Lounge's first day opening in Fenway, too. So shout out small boy Kyle Leslie.
I'll be flying back from Miami Monday morning. I'll be in my fucking grave by then.
Go straight from the airport to fucking Mile 26. I'll see you there.
Gonna play a little Trump National Thursday.
Let's go.
We got a little
Del Mar.
We got box seats and for the Florida Panthers game, win or go home against the Canes.
Love that.
And then we'll have some fun action. It'll be a good weekend. I'll post some content. We'll get it going. I don't have to be all private. Fuck that.
But yeah, thanks for joining us here tonight.
Episode 120. Speaking of private, where's Magic Mike?
Magic Mike, you're on fucking timeout with me again, all right? You gotta show me some effort.
I miss Anton. Miss Anton.
Dude, Anton. Free Anton. Bring him back. Let's do an 11 o'clock episode to bring that kid back for one.
I don't want to see that kid 11 o'clock ever.
Yeah, that might be dangerous.
We'll wrap.
Wait, real quick. Last thing. Got a Ja Morant.
Oh, you don't want to show that to
the
people.
Yeah, yeah. We got to show this to the people. You know, I'm a bragger. Got a Ja Morant Young Dolph graded 10 card today. So I'll show it to the camera as we close out for the night.